Come on in, sit right down. Keep your hands up, keep your chin down. Shut the door, time to go with Randy Harrison. Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, prizes, and surprises anywhere. For Knockout Radio, I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
What is going on, everybody? Coming to you live from the PGA show here in Orlando. A lot of cool stuff going on, and a missing empty seat.
Yeah, what happened to our co-host? Where's our co-host go?
Well, no, the co-host. You still are the co-host.
I'm moving up. If there's an empty seat, I'm coming over.
And we have a celebrity sit-in.
Celebrity?
Yeah.
I don't think so, but I appreciate it. I found you guys.
Welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you. I look a little different than your normal co-host. So. A little bit different.
200 and some pounds lighter.
Not as athletic.
Not from Africa.
Can't move as fast. I don't speak multiple languages. Very adventurous on food.
Let's real quick lay down. We just started. We got to talk about UFC last weekend. But let's talk about who is on the show today.
Okay.
All right. So coming up momentarily, your new best friend.
Pete Holman.
Yeah, Pete Holman will be here. Now,
your best friend.
Isn't his dad the bowling guy that does the...
That's Pete Weber.
Oh, okay.
Completely different guy.
Yeah.
But they do the same movement for functional fitness.
That could be. Bottom of the hour, somebody you may have heard of. Legendary. You know I hate that word.
You do use the word often.
Legendary co-frontman of KISS, Paul Stanley.
That's crazy.
Going to be on today. This may be one of the biggies.
This is massive.
This is
a huge.
Well, you know, and I put a thing out, and I do owe some Renaissance tickets to somebody who did guess. I said, you know, go ahead and guess who you think it's going to be. The word is legend. And when it comes to band, arguably one of my favorite bands. And my favorite bands would be narrowed down to like two or three.
Yeah.
So one
name
person.
Them.
Well, then I can't ever use it again, but obviously Kiss.
And Twisted REO, Sister.
And REO Speedwagon.
Okay.
Is it Twisted Sister one?
No.
No?
No.
Well, what's the guy from Safety Harbor, the local guy?
Cheap Trick.
Cheap Trick.
Yeah, Robin Zander.
Robin Zander. Cheap Trick is up there because of Robin Zander, but I have always been a KISS fan. I got to go see him a couple years ago, so having Paul Stanley on, unbelievable. All right, the rest, Tom Shea, a local golfer who helped me win numerous golf tournaments over the years.
Okay.
Well, you know, my group, and I can't say foursome, it was probably my eightsome, because I would move in and out.
That's an A squad and a B squad.
No, I have two A squads.
Oh, no. If they didn't make the cut, no pun intended, then they're the B squad.
Yeah. They didn't make the putt?
Yeah, there you go. I don't know, the cut was good, too.
Well, that's not really the case. Fortunately, I was never put in a situation of all eight were available, you know, because who do you take? Most of them are scratch golfers. You know, most of them are PGA players. So it was crazy back then. And that was even before I knew the legend we know as Steve Monroe, better known as Tiger. Hate to say it, but he would probably be number one always.
So when I first joined this network, you guys had all kinds of golf scrambles, and I haven't been invited to one yet.
You couldn't make it.
What do you mean?
What? Where did I stutter?
You need four people.
Did you join us in the Murray Harris Invitational on September?
And one of us isn't here, so there's an open spot. Put me in, coach.
You could never make my foursome. You could never make my eightsome. You could never make the round of 160 points.
But I've been training. I've been swinging. I've been good clubbing. Is that what they call it?
Clubbing? Yeah. Now, in the second hour, if you somehow come to me and say the only way that our second hour guest, Martin Bergemeier, will come is if I include you, then I would let you ride along with us.
Oh, nice. I drive the cart.
I believe he is the reigning long drive champion.
So you've now just added someone else to the list.
Yeah, but I'll be the driver. And if I can deliver a pizza, I can deliver you guys a golf cart.
You're not even an honorable mention now.
Wow.
Returning to the show, she's been on numerous times leading up to the PGA show. And now with us broadcasting live in Phoenix, you know, the waste management tournament's going on out there. So we may run out there.
Oh, that's cool.
Hole 16.
She's on 16?
No, hole 16 is where you want to go at the Waste Management Open.
Is that the John Daly?
That's the party where they throw beer cans after the tee off. They're cheering. They're pumping the crowd up. That's where you want to go.
The Adam Sandler hole.
Yes.
Yeah.
TPC Scottsdale.
So Jane from Daphne, head cover. She's been on, like I said, numerous times. And then I'm not sure if I responded, but possibly coming to talk pickleball will be LPGA major champion Sherry Steinhauer. So action-packed from start to finish, and your guest is already late.
Oh, it's always a great to be at the expo.
That one went right over his head.
No. I mean, my guess, you make an invite, I can't make people come. You can't drag them to the promised land.
You can't get them off whatever the machine was called.
Yeah, his heart rate's too high. He can't come and talk.
All right, while we do have time to talk about it, last Saturday in Rio, UFC 2612.
Or 268.
Did you watch any of it?
I did not watch it.
You know, it was, I mean, emotional is not the right word, but for two legends of the sport, back to early days, Shogun Rua announces his retirement, after his fight, as well as Glover Teixeira as well. A lot of people felt the fight should have been stopped. A lot of people felt that Glover's corner should have stopped it. A lot of people felt doctors, referees, fans from the stands should have stopped it. I'm curious, what your thoughts, even though you didn't watch it.
Well, I saw the aftermath.
It's still Glover Teixeira.
And it's the latest, and that's my guy. That's Pete. That's the guy, the man of the hour.
Well, we better get...
But I think Teixeira, he took way too many punches. There's no reason to take that kind of abuse at this stage of the game. He's not going to be, what he once was. And I think he was smart. He said he was too strong, too tough for his own good, and that he's ready to retire because it's the smartest thing to do at this point.
The problem with that, though, is he knew that announcement before the fight.
You think he knew he was going to retire?
Absolutely. I think that he knew that if he lost, he would retire.
Right.
So if you go into a fight that way.
Well, Shogun Rua. I mean, you don't think the UFC put these guys in a position where they can lay their gloves down in their home country after they've sacrificed their body of life and career to the sport?
Not with Glover, because he's fighting for the title.
But he's still fighting in Brazil at home, so he can retire with honor and dignity in front of his pride of his country.
So you think if he would have won, that he still would have retired?
Well, no. No.
Right. So that's what I'm saying.
That goes back to, even a loser will keep you going if they're winning. Because, you can't be a champion until after you've been beaten to see what you're really made of.
Speaking of a loser.
I am not a loser. We have a champion next to us. We have a USA Taekwondo Master champion, Pete Holman. Welcome to the program, Pete.
My man.
Dude, my guy. So, look.
How did you respond to him? How did you even let him stay in your booth?
He's my guy from day one.
Oh,
right
my
here.
God.
Instant. Jump.
Well, here's the thing. Big guys.
You don't know him yet.
Fit guys, big guys. There's a mutual respect between other men where it's like, hey, I know what it takes for you to achieve that. I know what it takes for you to, build that physique and maintain it. So, there's, automatic camaraderie that comes about. Just the lifestyle that we live.
But more than that, I saw it in your eyes.
Oh, yeah.
I saw something in your eyes. I mean, he's got a twinkle in his eyes. I don't know what his background is. And then when I found out you were a fighter, I'm like, oh, there it is.
I just threw up a little in my mouth.
Hey, we can have bro crushes. It's okay.
No, that's fine. No, that's fine. So give us a little on your background.
Well, I was on the U.S. National Taekwondo team many moons ago and just fell in love with martial arts. And I competed kickboxing, tough man boxing. Smoker tournaments all over the place, and became a physical therapist, a strength coach, and then wanted to share my passion and love for health and fitness and wellness with the rest of the world, and really kind of started developing fitness products that could be utilized by people all over the world to get healthy and strong.
And that's where I was going to go with it. MMA is our love, Knockout Radio. We talk all sports, but MMA is the passion. We're at the PGA Golf Show, and I didn't quite understand the connection, MMA and Taekwondo at PGA.
Yeah, I mean, you think about rotational athletes all have a little bit of a love for one another. You look at NFL quarterback throwing 70 yards downfield. I mean, rotational spiral energy is the key.
I'm not familiar with that because Brady couldn't throw it from the 15-yard line into the stands. Hey, so I don't know what 70 yards would be.
I'm from Denver. We got Russell Wilson, so don't give me your
okay. That's where the love romance is between the two of you.
From the Baja City, baby.
Right. Yeah, okay, yeah. So, God, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so just rotational athletes and you know, martial artists, if you think about it, they're some of the best athletes in the world.
Sure.
Maybe a gymnast might be comparable, you know, as far as speed, explosiveness, flexibility, endurance, stamina. All those aspects of athleticism have to come together to fruition to have you be a champion. It's not easy. And plus, you're getting shelled every round. I mean, you're getting hit. So imagine a gymnast having stones thrown at them as they're doing the pole vault. I mean, that's what MMA is.
I'd like to see that.
Yeah, well.
That would be interesting. Now, I do want to say I'm a little disappointed in you, and we just met. I just saw a photo on Facebook, and Matt's doing something stupid, and you didn't kick him in the head.
Well, I'd be happy to kick him in the head.
I would love that. Then we'd become friends.
Is he going to return fire, though?
So I've already put the public. So I got to be on the receiving end.
Man.
For those of you that are listening, I got to be the student instead of the trainer. Usually I'm on the other spectrum.
That's right.
To learn new things about spinal flexation and rotation and driving your hips through the golf swings. And so your fitness device that you invented, you know, talk about it. Talk about what it is, how it works.
The Golf Forever Swing Trainer. Imagine it's a bar with an elastic resistance cord connected to one side. When you anchor the resistance cord, you have an asymmetrical load. So imagine like a hockey stick and you've got a sport cord on one side. You start pushing it and pulling it and rotating it. And all of a sudden, you've got these diagonal spiral lines going through your body. Every core muscle is lit up from your pelvic girdle up through your trunk, through your shoulders. And you get that loaded kinetic potential energy that all box. All mixed martial artists have to store and transfer into their target. That's how you get power. That's why Bruce Lee at 145 pounds could knock dudes out. And he, you know, think about his mass. He's got Newtonian physics. It you know, goes against all the laws of Newtonian physics. He's a small guy, doesn't have a lot of mass, but he's got explosiveness through the hips.
So what would a workout entail using your device?
Well, what I like to do, I think about a rotisserie chicken, right? You're facing
one. So do I.
Yeah. Hey, we're focused on it. Come on. Keep it right. So I like to face the anchor point, and you're getting into pulling exercises, which work your back and your posterior spiral lines. I like to get side facing, and you're working on rotational moves. And then if you start to add explosiveness and speed into the end ranges, now you get that explosive rotational power, and that's what mixed martial arts is all about.
All right, so, and I'm being serious here. So I get what that would do for PGA golfers, MMA fighters. I'm not even going to say Matt because then his head would really explode. But, you know, what about short, fat, old people? You know, people that are not athletic.
Well, one of the things it does is when you have an asymmetrical load on your body, you have to lower your center of gravity. It's just a natural reflexive response. People feel unbalanced, like you're on a subway that's translating left and right. What do? You lower your center of mass. The same thing here with the swing trainer. You lower your center of mass, and that instantly puts you in an athletic position. Then as soon as you accept load, you're activating your core muscles. Most people, they do sit-ups, they don't feel it. They do spinal extension, they don't feel it. This, you feel every muscle light up, and then when you feel it, you have that impetus to like, hey, I'm feeling something. This is working for me. I'm going to get benefit out of it.
The one reason why I don't like doing things like that, and I'm clowning.
You're really selling the product.
No. I'm going to sell it for you. This is what I'm saying. The reason I don't like doing this is because after I do something like that, I don't want to eat. I don't want to eat that full rotisserie chicken. So these items are great for that.
Well, listen, what we're trying to do is we're trying to make exercise accessible and have some level of fun. When you're in functional golf type positions, it's funner to train.
Right.
Who wants to do a leg press and deadlifts and bicep curls? You want to do something sexy and fun. You want to get rotating and balanced and look like an athlete.
What I love about it, I have a home studio gym that I built out. It's state of the art. It's comparable to a commercial gym you would see anywhere. What I loved about it is that you can use this on a door hanger, close a door, anchor it to a point, and you can do this at home, you can do it on the road, you can do it outdoors, you can do it anywhere.
And it anchors anywhere, and you can also loop this resistance cord, the end of the cord, loops around a tree, a fence post, a railing, and it snaps on, as long as you have a solid anchor point.
And the feeling I got, my obliques, like the stretch that I got, like the just the movement and mobility, I just feel open, I feel connected. It's unreal.
Do you have, I would assume, but we know what assume means, do you have an app, do you have a system, and explain to people you should do that, like kind of like a training session?
Yeah, it's actually pretty cool. So we have an app, but what's unique about our app is there's an assessment tool. So on day one, you take an assessment, we look at balance, we look at core strength, we look at mobility, and we put you into a group, and that group spits you into a cohort of exercises that have appropriate progressions throughout the program. So if you test really high, we've got a bunch of college golf teams. They're testing very high in the assessment. So it spits them into this tough cohort where they're off day one, they're hitting the ground running with hard exercises, tougher progressions, more intensity, more volume, less rest periods. If you are 72 years old and you've had some injuries and you've got some balance challenges, it spits you into a different cohort and you progress appropriately.
How long time-wise, would a normal session be?
So there's two workouts. There's a fundamental warm-up, which is a 15-minute, just kind of stretchy, feel-good workout. And then there's a rotational power workout. And those vary between 20 minutes and 30 minutes, depending, again, on your cohort. 20 minutes on the easier side, 30 minutes. And there's some instructional time. It's not 20 minutes gung-ho.
And 20 minutes is doable. For anybody, an athlete or somebody like me that doesn't really enjoy working out, but wants that feeling like I did work out.
And by the way, you can modify the intensity in real time. There's two different levels of resistance cords. So there's a medium level and a light level. And you can also step further away from the anchor. There's a lot of things you can do, move at higher velocities to make it harder or easier. So you can get an elite level athlete in 20 minutes, and you know this better than anybody.
Sure. No, he doesn't. You said elite.
Yeah, of course.
You can smoke yourself, in 20 minutes doing these rotational moves. It's unbelievable.
I smoke myself with the workout. He smokes rotisserie chicken.
Very true. Very true. I'd love to see some of the UFC guys, do a training session in something like this.
I mean, back in the day, I had a similar product. I was with TRX, a different company, and we had a similar product. And I remember training Brian Stann and a lot of the UFC guys back then, Jake Shields and like old school guys in TRX in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And they loved it because instantly it challenged their balance, it challenged their posture. And then, of course, it gave them that rotational power that everybody wants.
How can people get the more information? How can they purchase? Website?
Yeah, we're at golfforever.com. It's real simple, golfforever.com. You can take a look at the app. We've got some pretty hot shot golfers right now. We've got Justin Leonard and Scottie Scheffler and Zach Johnson just joined. He's the head of the not Masters this year. Why am I having a brain melt? The Ryder's Cup. He's the Ryder's Cup team captain.
Oh, that's
this
small
year.
Team.
Yeah,
yeah,
so, that's small. Which is really cool. Like he's leading the whole U.S. into this Ryder's Cup, and it's very strategic. So we're really excited to have Zach Johnson on board as well.
Awesome.
Yeah. We appreciate your time. Let's stay in touch.
Appreciate you guys. Keep doing what you're doing. And
we'll stay in touch, man. Come through.
You have a much better chance. I'm talking to Knucklehead. You have a much better chance of me trying this than that ice bath thing you want to do.
It's true. But we'll get you to do both.
No, I'll do this.
All right.
I'll do this. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
All right. Let's go hit a break. And there's only one way that we can move on from Pete. I mean, Pete just blew
killed
this
it.
Thing up.
He killed crushed it. It.
Only one person can follow, and that would be Paul Stanley from KISS when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Sun.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Reggie Bush, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, face demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
Tour de Pizza is back as Tournament Day Pizza, located at 170 47th Avenue Northeast in St. Petersburg. Located inside the Racquet Club of St. Pete, we've proudly been serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the last 15 years and running. Tour de Pizza, full menu, full liquor bar, same great pizza, Tour de Pizza. Visit us online at tourdepizza.com. Now remember, a slice a day keeps the doctor away. Tour de Pizza, it's where winners eat.
Skunk Ape Electronics is just amazing. Get connected through music with Skunk Ape Electronics. Custom boomboxes, veteran-owned and operated, and American-made. Go to skunkapeelectronics.com and change the way you listen to music. Get 10% off your first purchase when you sign up for our newsletter. Stop by any Knockout Radio broadcast and check out what they use from Skunk Ape Electronics. Amazing. Just amazing.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Larry the Cable Guy from the Blue Collar Comedy Tour. You're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Larry the Cable Guy, I hung out with him. That liner's from, I think I got that from the David Wells Celebrity Softball Game. Many years ago.
But tell me about Larry. Is he always in character? Is he normal when he's not in character? Is he
honestly? He was the coolest, most down to earth. You know, and I say that about a lot of people. And when I say that, I mean that nobody is cooler than him. Randy Couture is one of the coolest, most down to earth. So was Larry the Cable Guy.
Wow.
Phenomenal. We hung out backstage up until when he went on. There was a photo that Steve took of Larry the Cable Guy on his phone.
Okay.
And I'm standing right next to him on my phone. Okay. Now, the truth of the story is we're both looking up to compare photos of ourselves with Chuck Liddell.
Oh, what?
So,
okay.
Really good dude. Yes.
Is he a neighbor of Chuck Liddell's as well?
They're friends. You know, they've met. You know, I brought up Brad Penny. I think we're going to broadcast. I'm working on broadcasting from his golf tournament in Nebraska.
Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. I'm
to
dressed.
Do what?
To play golf. Can we play golf while we're at the Super Bowl in 2 weeks?
We could.
There's golf courses everywhere.
There's golf courses everywhere. I think we'll be a little busy.
Oh, yeah. Broadcasted live from the Super Bowl.
Between being on Radio Row and we're already starting to set that schedule up, but the waste management tournament's going on out there. We may run out to that.
That'd be awesome.
We've worked a couple deals here at the PGA show that will follow up in Scottsdale.
Sure.
You know, in a couple weeks. I want to go back to something that you said real quick before our guest comes on or calls in. I know that he's busy. He is kind of busy.
He's busy.
I don't think they thought that Glover Teixeira, if he doesn't win, he's going to retire. You know what I'm saying?
You don't think so?
No, I think they thought that he was going to win that fight. You know, I think.
Okay.
I think he thought he was going to win, but I always have a problem with if somebody instantly retires right after a fight. That to me means they thought about it. They knew this was the plan. If I lose, if you go anywhere and say, if I lose, I'm going to retire, the chances are, guess what?
Well, but you're going to see it when Brady signs with the Patriots for one day and then retires as a Patriot.
The one-day things are totally different. The one-day things obviously don't. But when Brady – this is going to be interesting because both sides are confused. Does Tom Brady – everybody seems to think that he's going to Vegas.
Okay.
All right, that's going to be his landing spot. And some people are saying, and I agree with this, Tom Brady's not going to go somewhere to play next year to prepare himself for the following year.
Right, he's playing to win.
He's playing one more year. One more year,
silly as this sounds, is Tampa. They need to go out somehow. I know that they're in salary badness.
Right.
They need to figure out a way to get the pieces that they need, whatever that may be. And you know, a lot of people have said the offensive line of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers was brutal. Guess what? The Cincinnati Bengals offensive line is worse. And they're going to most likely, especially if Patrick Mahomes doesn't play, they're going to go to back-to-back Super Bowls. Yeah. Don't tell me Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, you can't figure out a way to win. Now, I said it earlier, Tom Brady couldn't throw it out of the end zone from the 15 last week.
Well, he threw it 66 times. I mean, he you know, they had no run game. There was no run presence. Like, you have to have a run game in the NFL.
And I heard that there's some disgruntled people over at One Buck.
Oh.
Bruce Arians has started to separate himself from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's the intel I was given.
Really?
That he's upset. You know, these were his guys.
Oh, so they can take his name off the Ring of Honor?
Maybe if he just said something negative.
Or just move it down or like push it around to the other side.
If he says something negative, you know, anything is possible. Did anybody think the Jacksonville Jaguars was going to win that game?
No.
Come on.
No.
Even though once Mahomes went out and then he came back and blah, 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 I still never thought that they would find a way to lose that game.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Little disagreement on the sidelines with Diggs and Josh Allen in Buffalo.
I like the passion. I'm okay with it.
Now, Sean made a comment, and I agree with this. If they really wanted to get the crowd in Buffalo going, they should have had the table at the 50-yard line.
With Mr. Damar Hamlin.
Right.
And then that awesome trainer that saved his life.
Yeah.
Who goes through the table? Does Hamlin put the trainer through the table?
We'll talk about that because that was, you know, something of note. But coming up, Paul Stanley's Fine Art Tour is headed down south into Fort Lauderdale next Friday the 3rd at Wentworth Gallery at Seminole Hard Rock, where we plan on going to. And then Saturday the 4th from 6 to 8 at the gallery at Boca Raton at the Town Center Mall. Then in February on the 24th and the 25th in Maryland and Virginia. I can talk about it, but I think our next guest can talk about it even better. I hate the word legend. This man is a legend. Let's welcome to the program Paul Stanley. Paul, how are you?
I'm smiling right now. Yeah, you know, when you don't have to fish for those kind of compliments, that's great. I'm really doing terrifically, and it's great to speak to you, and looking forward to coming down to your neck of the woods.
Talk about, you know, we're going to talk about the gallery, but first let's talk about how you started this. I know that you've been doing this for quite some time, but just one day you sat down and started a paint, and it came out like it is?
About 20 years ago or so, a little more, I was going through a pretty rough time personally, and my best friend said to me, "You should paint." And I was like, "Really?" And something about it kind of like resonated with me. So I went to an art supply store and bought paints, brushes, an easel, canvases. I had no idea what I was going to do. I spread newspaper all over the floor and started painting. And at first it was kind of just, I guess, stream of consciousness, just kind of like purging, you know, better than being in the shower screaming. So I just started painting, and every time I painted, it was kind of like a relief. It was kind of, whew, that was what I was, I guess that's what I was feeling. And it was kind of primal, but it was also a lot of color. And never did it with the idea of anybody seeing it, but I did a couple of pieces that I really liked, and I hung them in the house, and people would always come over and say, "Who did that?" And they weren't signed because I was too self-conscious to sign them. And then at some point, I met somebody in Hawaii who had an art gallery, and he said, "You know, I'd like to do a show one day of your art." And I was kind of, again, I was like, "Really?" And finally, I did it. I was pretty ambivalent and kind of hesitant. I did it, and people took home paintings, and I was amazed. And that really was the start of it. And since then, it's grown into something I never, ever, ever could have imagined. It's to say it's massive is pretty much a pretty apt description of what's happened in the last 20 years, certainly the last 15.
What was that first painting of?
The first painting I did was a portrait, a self-portrait. I figured if I'm going to paint things, maybe I should know the painter. And I painted a self-portrait, and lo and behold, people knew it was me. And, you know, maybe if people had said, "Who's that?" I would have stopped. but I did a portrait of myself, and I guess it was successful. And from there, I just never stopped, and it's been just tremendous, tremendous. Right now I'm at the studio painting. That's what I do most mornings, at least. After I drop somebody at school, there's three that are still in school, so I do daddy driving duty in the morning and then head to paint.
I'm sure it's similar in a way to writing a song, but how do you decide, well, today I'm going to sit down and I'm going to paint whatever?
I mean, it's a great question. Truly, the thing about art for me and painting for me that's very different than music, perhaps because I chose to do it this way, is I do it without any real structure or without any real limitations or boundaries that songwriting has. In songwriting, you have a key, then you have music, bridges, choruses, verses, then you have lyrics, you have to have a rhyme. And in art, I guess I made a point of really just painting. I'm not Picasso by any stretch of the imagination, but Picasso said if he had to describe himself, he'd say it was a painter without a style. I don't want to have a style. I want, the only thing that will connect all my art together is exploration and bright colors. Everybody who sees my work says, "Wow, you know, you're great with color." And maybe it's because I don't know anything about color relationships, the things that you learn when you're formally trained, primary colors and secondary colors. I don't know any of that. I just paint. And the only thing I'm trying to do and will continue to try to do is express myself without any boundaries or limitations or expectations.
We're talking to Paul Stanley, who's coming to the area down in Fort Lauderdale. He'll be there next Friday on the 3rd and then Saturday at the Boca Raton Town Center. I'm curious, Paul, is it the same feeling as you're on stage, you're singing, you see the crowd, as well as you're at a gallery and you see people coming in and staring at your paintings? Is it the same kind of feeling or is it different?
I think it's different. It's different. Certainly when I'm on stage, if you have 20, 50, 80,000 people, they're involved with the show. They're involved with the interaction with me. In a gallery show, there's certainly less screaming. There's less arm waving, but I find it connects. People will say to me, "I don't know anything about art, but," and then they'll start to say something. I go, "Wait a minute, what do you need to know? You don't. Every opinion is valid, and the idea that you need an education to have an opinion is really the work of critics, because they put that forward because their salary depends upon it. You don't need anybody to tell you what's good. If you're a vegetarian, who's going to tell you about steak? I mean, it's just, it doesn't work like that. Everybody is well prepared to have an opinion and like what they like. So that's part of why I do shows, is not only because of the accessibility to people purchasing art, but it's also to kind of say to people, hey, this is what I do, and you could certainly go home and paint on your own, and you also don't need a degree to be able to say I like something or not.
As you compared the two, 80,000, 110,000, I'm curious, will you ever have a zip line at one of the galleries?
They're too small. I'd hit the wall really quickly.
So Paul, with going back to the expression part of music, the expression of being an artist, are you familiar with the new AI technology, the ChatGPT? Have you seen this where people can just give it content and it will create lyrics or a song?
Fascinating. It's a bit creepy and it's a bit scary. They've done it with art also, and to be able to say, hey, let's come up with a Led Zeppelin type tune, or to feed some information in and have it spit out something creative is a little scary. Computers and artificial intelligence, I'm just one of those people that says, where does it end? At some point, they probably will be thinking on their own and communicating with each other, and then we're in trouble.
Yeah. Oh, wow. For sure. Paul, I'm curious, are you a sports fan? Are there any particular sports teams that you know that you follow?
I love going out here to basketball games, mainly because one of my sons loves basketball, and so to sit courtside and see these giant athletes, these just amazing human machines, it's exhilarating. And then of course everybody will follow sports news, and when you see somebody hurt, or in a recent case when you see somebody's heart stop, and thank goodness, you know, for a medical team there that was able to revive him. We all get caught up in that. It's just human nature.
Hey, Paul, so we're broadcasting live from the PGA Golf Expo in Orlando currently. So how's your golf game? Is it something you enjoy? Is it a game you've ever played? And
I still have trouble getting the ball through the clown's mouth or under the windmill.
Well, you get the free game. You know, if you get that ball in the mouth, you get the free game.
The buzzer goes off.
I know, and I'm going to keep trying. But I have close friends who are rabid, avid golfers, and you know, more power to them. Interestingly, a couple of decades actually ago, my manager wanted to get me into golf and got me an amazing set of Callaway clubs and beautiful shoes. And unfortunately, I had to have a hip replacement around then. So the clubs sat long enough that now they're antiquities. You know, technology just takes it so much further. I can tell you a great story that I was once, we were on tour, and we were in Scotland. And lo and behold, somebody says, you know, the oldest clubhouse and the oldest, holy ground is right here.
Yep.
So I wound up at, the hallowed ground there. And I walked in with a date I had at the time and a bunch of guys who looked like they just crawled out from under a bus. And we walked in and everybody, you know, just stopped. It was like that old commercial where everybody stops to hear what some expert has to say about finances. Everybody dropped their spoons somebody said, can I help you? And I said, well, we want to golf. And first they said, well, you can't golf looking like that. So I said, okay, we'll buy clothes. So we bought clothes there, and we looked like, you know, escapees from a mental hospital. We had cardigans and shoes with tassels and hair coming out everywhere and caps. And they gave us one of the golf pros, and we went out, and it truly looked like a lunatic asylum. people trying to hit balls and clubs flying up in the air. What was that, St. Anthony's? Is that what it was?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm sure they have our picture up now at the door to make sure we never get past it again.
Never get back in. Let me ask you this, Paul. As you're working on, let's say, whatever the piece is that you're presently working on, how long will it take to complete before that ends up in the next tour?
Good question. Interesting, because people always equate time and money. In other words, if something takes 20 minutes, is it less worth, you know, is it worth less than something that took 20 years? And the answer is really no, because what's impossible for one person, no matter how long they have, is possible for someone else. So it's a long way of saying, when people say to me, when they see a piece and say, how long did that take? At this point, I say 70 years. I say, I couldn't have done it any sooner.
Hey, Paul, so on parting ways here, I just want to say, I think you should do a self-portrait of you recreating that scene at St. Anthony's and give it back to the club so they can display it proudly of you and your band on the court dressed in the cardigans, and I think that should be your next piece.
Well, if you want to see anything similar, you can watch the film One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and that pretty much approximates what was going on there.
There you have it. Paul, thank you very much for your time.
Awesome.
I know we have your address. We're going to send you a package from 8 Man Strong, some gear. Hopefully you gave everybody size. If not, we'll get back in touch. I want to send the whole family, as well as I will jump in the car. We're in Tampa. We're going to drive down to meet you on Friday.
Oh, please.
We will leave now to make sure we're there in time. We will definitely be there. Thank you for your time, and I'll see you next Friday in Fort Lauderdale.
I won't start without you.
Appreciate it.
That's awesome.
That is Paul Stanley from KISS. Honestly,
great guy.
It's tremendous. You know,
it's unbelievable.
One of my bucket lists was to see KISS. And a couple years ago, my younger brother and I went to Philadelphia and saw him. And that was the zip line where he zips to the back of the arena. And loved the concert. And we're going to get a hold of Steve, and we are going to make that trip to Fort Lauderdale next Friday for sure. I want to purchase a piece. Now, I know that I can't purchase the crazy ones. You know, they've gone for tens of millions of dollars. But, you know, there's prints, there's stuff like that. And if you go to his website, paulstanley.com, not only will you see the tour, but you'll see some of these pieces. And he's right. When you looked at that picture of Paul Stanley, you knew it was Paul Stanley. You know, we've talked about bobbleheads. Somebody would send me a bobblehead. I'm like, who is it?
Right.
Who is it of?
Of course.
You know, and we don't know. All right, let's go hit a break. When we come back, we're going to reminisce with an old friend that I haven't seen in a long, long time. But because of him, I own quite a few crystal balls from winning golf tournaments. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. We'll be right back.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Don Maynard. I'm talking sports with Randy Harris.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
Looking for the perfect holiday gift? Randy Harris here. And once you check out the vinyl image, your search will be over. This is the gift. Perfect for the man cave, she shed, kids room or garage. Get your favorite band, animal, sport, military, or custom your own record design. I already put my order in, and so should you. Vinyl records are back. Tune in to Knockout Radio for details on how to win a gift certificate to thevinylimage.com.
How would you like to be like Jorge Masvidal, Dustin Poirier, Daniel Cormier, Joe Rogan, me, and many, many others? You could also own an amazing painting from Ross Bain's art. Ross paints original canvas art, including custom commission work. There is nothing Ross Bain's can't paint. Ross was commissioned to paint the Masvidal flying knee mural on the ATT gym wall as well. Hang a painting in your house or office of your favorite athlete, actor, pet, family, sunset, you get the idea. Check out his amazing talent on the online store at rossbainsart.bigcartel.com and join the Ross Baines Art owner family. Follow Ross today on Twitter at Ross Baines Art.
You don't need to be in the military to take advantage of Military Case Surplus, where you can buy pre-owned storage cases up to 80% off. Most cases are waterproof, airtight, and in excellent used condition at unbeatable prices. Military Case Surplus is located at 8989 Ulmerton Road, Suite B, in Largo. If you need it, they should have it. Call 727-276-8716 or come see them. We all need storage, and Military Case Surplus can save you a lot of money. And they're cool as well. Check them out on Facebook at Military Case Surplus.
Got bills? Looking for work? But nobody is hiring. StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
It's Joel Romero here and the Knockout Radio.
Everybody get up. Congratulations to Soldier of God for being a U.S. citizen. Congratulations. Went through the citizenship process, and one of your greatest
what?
UFC fighters to
to
ever do it for a country of Cuba is now a U.S. citizen.
I don't know about one of the greatest, but yeah, if you're going to throw in from the country of Cuba, one of the greatest to ever allow me to win, I don't know, 157 golf tournaments back in the day, Tom Shea. Tom, what's up?
Randy, thanks for having me.
And am I exaggerating?
We did win a lot in the beginning. It's like, what happened to that run, though? We need to get on that train again.
People dwindled. John Cerruti, may he rest in peace. I don't know if you remember John.
Mm-hmm, John, sure.
That tragedy, Jay Nash down in Sarasota, I'm not even sure where that ended up.
Yeah.
David Graham moved. But, Matt, when I tell you that we were unstoppable, it was sick. It was stupid. It shouldn't have been allowed. But, you know, and if you remember, people would look at us, you know, when we would come in. And what's a realistic celebrity tournament where you're playing best ball? A realistic 20 under, 19 under?
Yeah, like, you know, if you're, I always say, listen, if you're 20 or 21, you're using a pencil. But, hey, if you're making eagles, you can go low. So.
We would come in 23.
Yeah.
You know, on par fives,
they were legit.
Eagles.
Yeah, they were,
you know, and it was all these guys that can't cheat. Now, I've played with, matter of fact, I took a picture of a guy here, so I'm not going to say his name, but he is very famous. He's been on some of the biggest TV shows ever, and we played in a tournament where the celebrities were playing for money, and he used his foot.
The old foot wedge. You know? There you go.
And I want to talk about a bunch of things, but I don't remember if you were on the particular foursome or fivesome, whatever it was, where I kicked someone off in the middle of the tournament and replaced him with a female golfer.
I do remember that. I do remember. Well, I'll take the advantage of the forward tees, right?
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely. So, yeah, it's been a while, and I want to talk about you, but I still want to thank you because you drove with me from Tampa to Orlando. When was Tiger Woods a rookie?
Oh, that was 96, 97.
And I emceed the unveiling of Tiger Woods' website. This was so far back, we used Polaroid cameras and, you know, no photos and cameras and all that kind of stuff. So that was definitely an experience. But what are you doing, you know?
Well, listen, real quick, our favorite part of that is he drove himself, remember?
Yeah.
And we were wondering if he was driving a Buick. I don't think he was.
Yeah. not at the time, yeah. And he drove straight there, got there safe and sound, and got home safe and sound after.
Exactly.
So, you still playing? You still?
Listen, I've always been junior golf. For the last 12 years, I've been the Tampa Tour Director for U.S. Kids. I was at Berkeley for 15 years coaching. Gave that up a couple years ago. junior golf. So
what is junior golf?
Well, it's, you know, anybody 18 or younger. You know, we started out with the local tour at 5 to 14-year-olds. We added a teenager division the last couple of years. So we train them, we coach them, we get them out there to play. And, you know, kids being kids, you know, because what's the only problem with kids, Randy? You know it.
They need a stick in their hand.
Well, sometimes the parents come with them. So, so I like to joke. We just had 350 kids in Innisbrook for one of our regionals. And, you know, I say, hey, we had 350 kids. Well, what's that come with? 700 parents. So, unfortunately. But for the most part, they're good. And just getting kids exposed to the game and continue to grow it. I mean, COVID grew the whole, you know, the whole area of golf. But junior golf, we exploded. So.
So I'm curious, you know, and like soccer is so big worldwide because you don't need a lot of money. It's a soccer ball. You can play on the beach. You can play in the backyard. How is golf accessible, you know, especially to young children to be able to go out, you know, and play around the golf?
Well, U.S. Kids is a good avenue. Listen, we have certified coaches. You know, we have training programs. You know, we try to graduate them to the golf course. But listen, the big thing now, Randy, is par threes are making a comeback. You know, Rocky Point is about to open one. You know,
we play it.
Yeah, they've got a couple hidden gems out there. You know, how many times have you driven by Tampa Bay Golf and Country Club on 75? They got a par three course nobody uses. We've been using it for U.S. kids. But those are becoming avenues again because of time restraints. But, you know, any kind of par three, I think they're trying to do the redo the one down on Treasure Island. So, I mean, that part of the game is coming back. Time restraints, you know, distance, and just, you know, making it fun again. So not only for kids, but for adults as well.
So along the lines Randy's talking about accessibility, at what age do kids need to start getting out there in order to actually make it into a career to be at a PGA Tour level?
Three.
Because some sports you peak, right, like in your teens, like Olympic swimmers, gymnastics. What's the peak age for golf or like the prime era?
You know, it's funny. Part of me doesn't even want to touch the subject because, listen, we get kids that are great at 7, but they burn out at 10 right. because of their parents.
Right.
So I think it's just if you can keep it fun and you watch. I mean, I've watched it. I've watched these kids, you know, graduate and they've developed their talent and they've gotten good because, you know, I think the biggest thing is, hey, show them how to win, but show them how to enjoy the game at the same time. And then it grows. So, you know, we've had some burnout. Kids are tired of the sport and they want to do other sports, you know, and then that's where the parents get involved and friction is gets involved there. But, I mean, really, the game is more accessible than anything. Now, forever, I would say the age of 7. Now I'm at 5, but, you know, Randy said 3, and he's not wrong. I mean, listen, we've got a whole booth full of short clubs with training grips on it that, you know, you can get a kid on a putting green and they just love putting it in the hole. I mean, so really, as long as they can hold the club and not hurt anybody or themselves.
Paul Stanley just said, who was, you know, he was your setup person. He was on before you. He said he still can't get the ball in the clown's mouth. So explain to me, as a golfer, you know, I know you're an excellent golfer. How come your best shot is always like on the 18th? You know, so that you're like, hey, okay, I finally got it. I'm going to come and spend another $80 and play again next week. If I could get that great shot in the first hole and then play like crap the rest, I wouldn't waste all this money. I don't know if you were involved in this, and if you were, I still dislike you for it. All of my ringers, which you were one of those, used to do side bets on how long it would take to use one of my balls.
Oh.
Now, again, it's unfair. I mean, there are zeros, and I'm a 412.
So you just got a free ride on the golf cart.
I keep flashing back to Bel Air, which is now Pelican. But I remember it was like the 12th or 13th hole until we got you.
And I'm sure it was a putt.
But, you know, no. I think it was actually a drive.
Really?
Because I think we let you go up forward a little bit. So, yeah, I think it was a tournament where we had to use one of your drives. So we figured out, let's get it out of the way now, and, you know. That worked, but
it's one of the things that I enjoy, and my son and I have started. You know, we play the Murray Invitational, which is in memory of my dad. So we'll always do it in the week of his passing and all that kind of stuff. And I love it more now because I just go out. I don't care. You know, I go to so many PGA golf shows. I have so many golf balls. I know I'm going to lose them, and I'm okay with it. And, you know, I'll bring 400 balls and go home with three and just have a good dive. Randy, people behind me don't like it.
Randy, my favorite story is there was an article in Golf Digest years ago. They say play golf with your three most obnoxious friends. I had three older obnoxious brothers. So they would throw stuff at me. So I like noise. So playing with you and the group that we had fun.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's a lot of grinders out there and they want to win. It's like, really? You know? But it's the fun factor that's the most important thing.
I worked for a guy, and I don't remember his name, and it was all in the golf world, and he was a zero and all this crap. And we went out to play one time, and I walked behind him, and he yelled at me that I walked in his sight line of the shadow. I quit playing golf with him and quit the job as well. I'm like, hey, I don't need that, and I want to go out and just have a good time.
Randy, I've been saying this for years. Hey, maybe this is where we launch it. I've been wanting to do a noise tournament.
Oh, absolutely.
Forever.
Oh.
Turn up the radios, throw stuff.
Oh,
I mean,
we could go that.
The only thing, the only way that I cannot play is if you get me laughing, which is usually pretty easy. So
when are we going to hit the golf course?
Whenever you want. I'm still at the Eagles.
I got a DJ. We'll blast that.
Still at the Eagles. I mean, you know, wherever we want to play, man. You tell me.
Good stuff. We got people.
Hey, it was good hanging out. It was good.
Hey,
I'm
glad I called. I didn't realize you were going to be here. I appreciate you having me on, and we will definitely stay in touch. So.
And you need to reach out to Paul Stanley for being your setup guy.
I will. Yeah. Thank you, Paul Stanley.
All right, let's go ahead and break. We are at the top of the hour. I believe he's the long drive champ when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3.
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3.
Listen.